Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, first, this afternoon, all members of the Garda Public Order Unit are to be issued with tasers, the Garda Commissioner has said, while the force is also to acquire two water cannons for full-time use. Drew Harris has been appearing before the Oireachtas Justice Committee this afternoon, answering questions on the Gardaí's response to events in Dublin last Thursday. Our reporter Una Kelly joins us now to tell us more. And Una, Drew Harris outlined what will change in policing operations now following Thursday.
Yes, Sarah. He said that there had not been any failure in any part by commanders at the scene last Thursday, and insisted that he has absolutely no intention to resign, saying he has too much work to do. He described last Thursday as a spontaneous incident that had been worsened by the speed of social media and misinformation. And he said that Gardaí now face a different form of disorder and that their tactics will now have to evolve. So to the committee, he outlined some changes he now wants to see, which include all members of the Garda Public Order Unit being issued with tasers, all frontline Gardaí being issued with stronger defensive sprays and more personal safety equipment. The force, he said, will acquire two water cannons. He also said they will be rolling out a proof of concept project involving body cameras early next year. That project will happen in Dublin, and he said it should be underway within the first quarter of next year. And he also said that more public order training will be issued to Gardaí, in addition to the 1,000 who are already trained, and also that they will have to refocus on high visibility policing operations.
He was also asked about the chains of command on the night.
Mm-hmm. The Garda Representative Association had said yesterday that Gardaí were having to WhatsApp their colleagues to come and help them essentially last Thursday night. And Deputy James Lawless at the committee asked if this was the case and was there not a central command structure. Drew Harris said WhatsApp messages were used last Thursday to gather extra Gardaí.
I've seen part of what I think was a WhatsApp message, and WhatsApp is used to circulate messages around the public order trained personnel. WhatsApp is also used to circulate legitimate messages when individuals are being sought for duties or for overtime. And what I saw is part of a management request for additional resources to come in. But at the same time, it has to be said that one individual was responding, they were ringing people that they knew were who were available and asking them, I'm going in, you're about to get a call. Or people were seeing what was happening on social media and on the news and then making themselves ready and heading to their station or heading to pre-arranged muster points.
Now, Garda numbers in Dublin, it's been an issue raised for some time, Una. What did the Commissioner have to say about all that?
Well, he was asked if he has enough officers, specifically in North East Dublin City. He said that the organisation is short of personnel, short 1,000, even against the government's plans, adding that it's accepted that they need more than 15,000 Garda members. But he did say that they have hired more Garda staff, which has freed up some frontline Gardaí. And when he was asked if Gardaí should have been better prepared, he insisted there was no prior indication of the scale of what happened.
Well, I would point to the fact that from the 20th of September, and this is the first time in my experience has been a situation we've had every day, two public order units on duty within Dublin. And in effect, that was a recognition on our part that things were tense and there was real difficulty around that community tension. But we required 250 public order personnel, which is our largest deployment of public order personnel, in effect, to quell this riot. And so in between the 50 who were on duty and the 250 that were required, it's very difficult to say, well, what number should you have had immediately available? Because we would still have needed to draw on resources from elsewhere and to draw on individuals who, in effect, were off duty to get to that number of 250.
So the Commissioner insisting there they could not have been better prepared. Some committee members, however, Una, say the events were predictable.
Yes, several of them said that. And Green Party TD Patrick Costello said that there has been a pattern of protests that had the potential to turn violent over the last 18 months or so. He cited the library protests in Cork and the events outside the Dáil on the 20th of September this year. And he also then recounted events in Buncrana in Donegal, where he said there have been vigilante patrols and also in Drumming Maher in Leitrim, with people being stopped and questioned. He said there have been some checkpoints in Westmeath, and he said that none of that has had a policing response. Drew Horris said that none of this was legitimate protest and that some incidents are under investigation. But here's what he had to say in relation to Drumahair.
The last understanding I had in respect of the Drumahair allegation was we were unable actually to find a basis for that in terms of a witness who said that they were stopped. And I have to say as well, beyond this, we find that some of these incidents, again, are almost will-o'-the-wisp in terms of the reporting. But I do acknowledge the incidents that have been reported to us. There's been criminal damage, obviously, to premises that were set aside for those seeking accommodation for international protection. And there's been investigations in respect of that to determine those who conducted that damage. And secondly, then, anywhere where there's been where the law has been broken and complaints have been received, then those matters have been investigated.
The Commissioner also gave his thoughts on what was behind the disorder.
Yes, this was in response to Senator Lynn Ryan, who said she didn't want to just focus on the policing response on the night, but why the disorder happened in the first place. And here's what Drew Horris said in response to that.
I think this starts from a place of prejudice, and that prejudice then becomes discrimination and hatred. And that's, I'm sure that sounds blunt, but that's what we see when we're dealing with these individuals, that they are fully convinced of the conspiracy theories and the various and the arguments that they have, and they're not open then to perhaps a rational argument or rational discussion in respect of what's going on. And that's the character of some of those we see involved. And they've been, in effect, I used the expression last Friday morning, radicalised in terms of their activity online and then their subsequent behaviours.
Lynn Ryan also asked Drew Horris if he agreed that using language like thugs and scumbags in a collective sense ends up creating more division and makes it harder to create safety.
We need to be careful, and you're right. We need to be careful about the core group and then those on the margins of it. And I suppose the point you raise is very valid, because in effect the expression being othering, so they're othering minority groups, and if our response is in fact then to other them, then in effect we're doing in reverse. And just from a greater numerical position.
Una Kelly, thank you very much for joining us with that report. And we will be returning to this issue after 5 o'clock. We'll be getting political reaction, and we'll also be speaking to the Garda Representative Association. We're returning now to the appearance of the Garda Commissioner Drew Horris before the Oireachtas Justice Committee this afternoon. President of the Garda Representative Association, Brendan O'Connor, joins us now on the line. And Brendan, you're welcome to the programme this evening. Lots to get through, lots of information from the Garda Commissioner today. We might start with the WhatsApp messages and that claim from one of your members on Primetime last night that WhatsApp messages were used to get Gardaí to come in because Gardaí were texting or WhatsApping each other to say, we need help, and let's come in. Drew Horris said that was a distortion today at the committee. He said that members were communicating via WhatsApp messages because there was no clear guidance. There was official lines of communication that were used also on Thursday along with the WhatsApp messages.
Yes, well, I listened to Niall's interview last night, and Niall is a very experienced member of the Garda Representative Association. He's an operational detective involved in investigation of serious crime. And he was at scene on Thursday when the events unfolded. So certainly I would stand over his comments and say they're reflective of the experience of our members in the organisation. And while WhatsApp and social media may have contributed to the communication, we don't believe that they're an alternative or a suitable channel of communication for the state to respond in such serious circumstances. So the Commissioner, on one hand, he was speaking about the inappropriateness of information circulating on WhatsApp, and then he said that it also complemented official channels. So I'm not sure what official channels he was referring to, but certainly our association stand over the comments of Niall as the elected representative in the North Central Division, who has elected to represent the members most impacted and most affected by the event that unfolded on Thursday evening.
Do you have any sense, Brendan? We know that about 250 of the Gardaí who were of the 400 who were present on Thursday were from the riot squads, so presumably they were brought there by a official channels. So do you have any sense of how many of the remaining 150 got there on by themselves or via that, those WhatsApp messages?
No, we don't have the breakdown of those figures, and maybe that will be part of a look back. But certainly our anecdotal evidence is for members around the country. And look at WhatsApp when, and text messages and unofficial channels were used very effectively to for a better term, rally the troops and to get the message out there that, that help was needed, and our members reacted to that request. But again, it should be subject of a review to see what are the communication process, what are the channels of communication, because we can't have a situation where the state is reliant on third-party service providers or communications that may collapse at times of emergency. So that's something that can be looked at going forward.
We learned today that Gardaí, among the new measures coming in, are going to get stronger pepper spray and more personal safety gear, although some of that, as we understand it, will only be issued to some members of the Public Order Unit. What do you think of what you heard in relation to all that?
Well, it's slightly concerning because the one issue that a lot of our members raised was the absence of proper protection for those regular units, as you said, in non-public order. So a lot of ordinary Gardaí made themselves available and made their way to the scene, and some were directed. So, you know, the head is recognised as the most vulnerable part of the body. All our central functions, sight, hearing, exposed to the danger of fireworks, missiles being thrown. So we would say that, you know, you can't enter a building site. If an employer was to put you onto a building site without supplying you with a hard hat, it would face consequences for the state. Yet our members were asked to make their way to a situation where they're going to face violence, missiles being thrown at them. And we believe it's reasonable to go back to the position where every guard had a riot helmet in their locker, and when they were deployed, they could take that further protection. As I say, it's mandatory for motorcyclists to wear riot helmets. It's advisable for cyclists to wear helmets. There's a reason why a member's head should be protected. We acknowledge everybody can't have full body armour, but it makes common sense that the most vulnerable part of the body would be protected, and we would find no comfort in the fact that the commissioner is saying that the additional equipment will be for specialist units. It's the vulnerable frontline member, the person who's asked to do everything in the job, we say should be given more attention and more protection.
Okay, so helmets as a sort of a basic fundamental is what you think should be given to every guard there before?
Absolutely. Correct. Well, I think any member who's asked to go into a hostile situation where missiles are being thrown and people are aggressively trying to inflict injury on you, surely the most vulnerable part of your body should be the first area that should be prioritised for protection, and that's absent in the conversation.
The Commissioner said today that at no point did Gardaí lose control of the situation. Do you agree with that?
Look, that's a subjective term and it's abstract, but when you see Lewis trams on fire, buses on fire, Garda vehicles on fire, Gardaí running, being chased by mobs, Gardaí being assaulted, Garda bikes being thrown in the Liffey, I'm not sure that would be my personal interpretation of a situation that's under control or the members I represent.
So on that basis then, do you think the Garda Commissioner or the Minister for Justice understand what happened? Or is your understanding of what happened different to their understanding of what happened?
Well, I don't think it's a different understanding. I mean, every human being is capable of analysing what they witness, and you know, the Garda Commissioner and the Minister are two very intelligent people, but I suppose describing and interpreting what you witnessed is due to personal interpretation or professional interpretation, as I say, getting hung up on describing exactly what happened. But as I say, it didn't appear that, you know, but what my members and the people I represent who were on the receiving end of that violence, they certainly didn't feel in control at certain times.
How did it happen, Brendan, that one guard that everyone has spoken about him got so isolated on O'Connor Bridge? And I imagine there might have been other situations like that weren't caught on camera. But how does that happen?
Again, sir, I can't answer that question. That's why we need to look at the operational command that was put in place. We need to look at the skill set that the people who were given the directions over Garda communication channels had. We have to look at what training was available both to the members who were giving the instruction and receiving the instruction. So it's a bit early to make, and I don't want to speculate on individual circumstances, but certainly it's an organisation responsibility for the Commissioner and for the Minister to look after employees. And I think, you know, most employers, if their employees were subjected to injury or risk of danger, they would face an investigation by perhaps the health and safety authority. So, you know, maybe there's a a role for other state agencies that can bring an impartial view of what was done, what was in place, and what protections should be in place going forward should be a similar situation arise.
So you think there should be an investigation by the Health and Safety Authority?
Well, as I say, I'm not going to be prescriptive, but certainly we would like to see some sort of an independent analysis of the situation, because we would feel the Health and Safety Authority, as we say, and I go back to the analogy, a person going onto a building site has a risk assessed. Mm. They're given appropriate equipment, and there's a state agency there that will comment on the appropriateness of the measures that are in place. So maybe we need to tap into expertise outside of the policing community or the policing stakeholders, just to give a better insight and a more impartial, less subjective interpretation or analysis of the situation.
We learned that tasers are also going to be distributed to public order units. We have a text here actually from a listener saying tasers aren't practical, that they have a low success rate, they can only be used within 5 metres, they can't be used where an accelerant is present, and they're simply not ideal for public order units. I wonder what you think of that?
Well, again, I'm not an expert on the use of taser or in the public order tactics, but I know that it's GRA policy that we would look for tasers for all officers. So we often look to Scotland as an example. And when Police Scotland decided to roll out tasers, they actually looked at their officers who operated in the Highlands on their own, who were isolated and vulnerable to attack and far from backup. So we have been looking for that for our officers in the places like Connemara and West Donegal. Mm. And so maybe the fact that that's not been prioritised, and that, you know, a member of a public order unit who absolutely works in a very hostile environment but is surrounded by the highest level of personal protective equipment is always in the company of colleagues, and yet the most vulnerable and isolated guards that we represent, who we've called for taser for, that conversation isn't taking place. So we reserve our judgment on the benefit of the men in public order situation, but that's not what we've called for them.
Speaking of those guards who are isolated and alone around the country, we were speaking to James Lawless, chair of the Justice Committee, on the programme yesterday, and he was saying there is a risk that if you take all these guards from around the country and bring them to Dublin, because we're hearing that there are more public order units going to be based in Dublin, that a lot of the new recruits that are coming out are going to go to Dublin, that you leave other parts of the country exposed. What do you think of that?
Well, obviously, we have a finite pool of people in an Garda Síochána. Unfortunately, due to the retention and recruitment crisis, which is well documented, our numbers are falling. So, you know, you only have a finite pool of people to call upon. So when you move those resources from one place to the other, it's inevitable and it's common sense that will leave gaps and vulnerabilities elsewhere. So certainly that's a concern of our members. But we also are very realistic. We understand that the threat to the security of the state and public order, probably that is the policing priority at the moment, that we have a common sense attitude. We can't have everybody where we want. But certainly there will be consequences of moving people. That's inevitable.
Given everything that you've heard today, if there was another major unexpected outbreak, riot, next week or in the weeks ahead, I know there's going to be public order units in Dublin over the next 4 weeks, but we'll say after Christmas, there's another major riot. Do you have confidence that the way everything is set up at the moment, Gardaí will be able to respond in a different fashion?
Well, I think any organisation will learn from its experiences, and I won't use the word mistakes, but certainly I would hope that some of the weaknesses and vulnerabilities that may have been exposed will be learned from. But the challenge really for our members is that some of the undertones and some of the social issues that are contributing to some of the rest, we can't get away from the fact that, as we say, there is a concentration in Dublin and a focus in Dublin, but there's certainly the potential for tension and conflict across the country. So our members won't be found wanting, and we'll do our best. Okay. But certainly we remain to have serious concerns about the readiness and the availability of resources to deal with what may arise.
Brendan O'Connor, Garda Representative Association President, thank you very much for joining us this evening.